Good morning, everybody. Today, I am pleased to present you a webinar entitled "Microorganisms on Electricity: Paradigms to Approach Interaction." We are beginning this presentation by explaining, by expliciting what exactly are microorganisms. And let us take a first look on at what is called the phylogenetic tree of life. It is composed by three branches: the bacteria, the archaea, and the eukarya. And each branch represents a form of life with its very specific cell type and with his genetic codes. And each node in the tree represent the common ancestors of his descendants. And we can see that it includes all form of life, including plants, fungi, animals, and so on. So what are microorganisms? We can see that distinction could be made between eukaryotes, which have a nucleus, and prokaryotes here, which have no nucleus. And here you can see the real size of prokaryote cell comparing to eukaryote cells. And the detailed structure of the prokaryote will be made later. We can say that there is a cytoplasm, including the nucleoid. In fact, that is this part, it is a unique chromosome. To define microorganisms, we can say that they are unicellular. They are living in single-celled form or in colony of cells. They include bacteria, yeast, fungi, and in some definition, viruses. Why in some definition? Because depending on the type of classification, we can include both microorganisms that are capable of replication outside of any host, and those like viruses that require a host to survive. And finally, to finish this overview, the size of the microorganisms ranges from less than 100 nanometer and 750 micrometer for the latest reported searching, Thio Margarita and Namibian SINS, in recently discovered. And if we detail the structure of the prokaryote, why do we choose a prokaryote? Because at this stage of evolution, prokaryotes already contain almost of the building blocks of the functionalities of life. So this is the reason why we focus our present questioning on prokaryotes. The same shame can be retrieved in more recent form of life in the evolution tree. And we can distinguish various shapes. Mainly we have three, but some authors describe more shapes. There is subdivisions. But the three main categories of shapes are the 3-1, the spherical, like all the cocks, Staphylococcus aureus, Streptococcus. Here you have got the photography. We have also rod-shaped bacteria, like the well-known Escherichia coli, all the Bacillus, Laxiobacillus, etc. Here is the photography. And also the spiral-shaped bacteria. Another distinction which is interesting is the variance of the cell envelope. Indeed, the biologist Hans Christian Joachim Gram developed a Gram stain test in order to distinguish the two type of cell envelope. And when the test is positive, that means that the stain will remain within the bacteria, can be seen after washing. The cell envelope has two parts. In the closest proximity of the cytoplasm, there is what is called a cytoplasmic membrane. And the peptidoglycan structure, which ensure the rigidity of the cell, and it is very thick in the gram-positive version. And detailing what is the plasmic membrane, you have here hydrophilic aids. In the middle of this lipidic structure, you have hydrophobic extremities. So this kind of arrangements is in fact very natural, because we can consider the surrounding medium is water all around this layer. And it can also be reproduced in an artificial way. And the protein, a lot of proteins on the ion channels, transporters, which permits the passage of constituents from exterior to interior of the cell. All these constituents are anchored in the membrane. And with the gram-negative version, like for example Escherichia coli, there are two main differences. First of all, we have a second bilipidic plasmic layer. This one is called LPS. That means lipopolysaccharide. And above the figure, you have the exterior medium. Okay? And this part ensure passage of water molecule. It includes a lot of channels. It also consequently include proteins. And the second main difference is the thickness of the peptidoglycan layer. It is very less thick than the for gram-positive version. And the free, you can say that, periplasmic space is much larger than in the positive layer. And in this part, we will see later that it is possible to see the circulation of protons on diverse electric charge. So in summary, the gram-negative version contains cytoplasmic membrane, a region called periplasm, and the outer membrane called LPS. Now, I propose that we have a discussion dealing with the possible axes for organizing the description of the subject of our study, which are microorganisms. Indeed, if you want to define a new descriptive line of thought, you have at disposition a recipe in three acts. First, you have to choose a physical quantity or a concept. For example, I choose the electrical charge, like a physical quantity or a physical entity. We will see later exactly what type of concept could be chosen. And secondly, you have to check if along this line of thought you can find opposite poles in a very general manner of speaking. For example, dealing with the electrical charge, it is positive versus negative charge. And finally, you have to check if you can distribute in a continuous manner your physical quantity or your concept between these two opposite poles along this line. It is somewhat philosophical, but in the next slide, you will understand what exactly I mean. Let us start from the first example. First of all, I want to conduct my line of thought along dealing with this paradigm, microorganisms versus surrounding medium. Are they opposite poles independent? The response is in fact no, because always they must be considered together. Whenever you want to discuss about electrical charge of potentials, I explain with the electrical charge. In this figure, you have here the outer membrane of your microorganisms. And in the right, you have the surrounding medium. And in fact, you have here, anchored to the outer membrane, for example, the LPS layer of the gram-negative bacteria, you have a chemical terminal group. Groups, like amine groups or carboxyl groups, have a property of protonation, which is different according to the pH of the free solution. That means on the hydrogen potential, or the concentration of proton H plus in the medium. So, depending on the pH of the solution, it ensues that the global net charge of the bacterium change, because when the protons is join the chemical terminal group, it now belongs to the bacteria. So where ends the bacteria and where start the medium? It is difficult to say what constituents belongs to who. If you now want to distinguish microorganisms and surrounding medium dealing with electrical potentials, overall, when you want to model, it is evident that it's difficult, because if you want to know the response to potential excitation of the microorganism, we can see here, for example, with this road shape bacteria, that it is not possible to impose a potential around this hemispheric extremity. Okay, you are obliged to define elementary box with surrounding media and define entry on output plane with imposed potential in a manner that electric current lines are orthogonal. So what you can cascade this elementary box to the their neighbor on finally getting the macroscopic structure in the context of bacteria in suspension in this media. This was developed in the reference above, and for this reason, also we can see that it is in fact difficult to completely separate microorganisms on surrounding medium. Another line of thought, it is the paradigm source receiver. Because in this slide, I mentioned here a famous reference dealing with the ability of bacteria to emit electromagnetic signal. And in fact, it is it comes with acoustic vibration, and in fact, sonic intercellular communication between bacteria may reflect electromagnetic intracellular communication involving coherent collective vibrational modes, and this could integrate enzyme activity and gene expressions. And in the 1978 years, the physicist Fröhlich demonstrated that proteins included in the bacteria, cytoplasm or other, can have eigen vibration mode up to a few gigahertz. And he demonstrated, but he calculated the eigenvalue, the eigenvalue modes, but it didn't demonstrate how it could be excited. It is not the same thing. But potentially, we can say that bacteria can be a source of electromagnetic wave, but in a very short range, intracellular, yes, but to go out of the cell, it was not demonstrated today. But the bacteria could also behave like a receiver here. For example, in this here, you have the demonstration, the descriptive demonstration of the formation of a biofilm. Bacteria who are already present in the biofilm emits electrical signals in the form of emitting potassium ions, and this arrival of potassium ions when received with the bacteria leads to a membrane potential response, and we will see in the next slide that a response is important to signal the state of the bacteria. And when the bacteria so understand that a signal is emitted from the already present bacteria in the biofilm, and they consequently modulate the tumbling frequency. And what is the tumbling? What is tumbling? Tumbling is a swimming mode of the bacteria called run and tumble. It goes and then it turns. and goes on terms. And so, in this manner, it can approach the biofilm and finally leads to growing of the biofilm. But another axis of float, it is the up to down paradigm. Here you have bacteria suspension submitted to an electrical voltage signal, and as I explained in the previous slide, the bacteria, the unique bacterium here, is submitted to a voltage, but which can be well defined far from the voltage, but with appropriate modelization, we can explicit how the this voltage is distributed along the layers constituting the cell envelope. And if we zoom finally on the uncurled protein in the layer, Kell demonstrated, described what are the vibrational modes of the protein. And finally, all this movement of the protein anchored in the plasmic membrane could bring destruction of the membrane on the disruption of the metabolism of the bacteria. Another distinction could be made between alive and dead, but it is not Schrodinger cats because all the intermediate states could be fine. When the health of the bacteria is not so good, can be seen through its growth rate, for example. But what is interesting here is that if you model the bacteria in a simple manner, constituting with conducting cytoplasm surrounding by an insulating membrane, owing to the Maxwell-Magner phenomena, it could be assimilated to a uniform media with a complex equivalent permittivity. And what is the Maxwell-Magner phenomena? It is a strong interfacial polarization here, and it leads to a well-known evolution of the real part of the permittivity with a very high value, much larger than each value can be found of the constituents, very high value in the low frequency limits. This phenomena was also found in the SeSO2 structures in silicon insulator structures, only in the 80s, it leads to a lot of paper dealing with slow wave propagation in monolithic microwave integrated circuits with this limits with transition frequency, which is drift in high frequency. And what happens if the bacterium is dead? Often cases, the membrane is perforated, and the cell no longer can regulate the parameters of its cytoplasm, and because it cannot proceed to appropriate exchange of ions in order to regulate the global parameters, and the conductivity collapse. It is now very, very, very weak, in consequence, you have this new evolution of the real part of permittivity. And if you choose, for example, the death frequency 1 MHz, it is very easy to distinguish between alive and dead. But the main focus of this presentation deals with what is called the WWW paradigm, that means what, where, when, speaking of the electrical charge. And what does it mean? The what questions deals with the sign, the nature, the state, and the quantity of the charge. And for the state, you can have free charge, but the bound charge, they are the polarization charge, or semi-free. Some ionic species can be free to, but they have to be anchored to the surface. It is not possible. They are semi-free. The where question is evident. We can find charge in medium, membrane, periplasm, cytoplasm. And we will attempt to detail that. And the when question, in fact, is relative to the dynamics. What are the relaxation times? What is the diffusion velocity? And what is the tunnel transport behavior? Because now in the literature, we can find a lot of paper dealing with the quantum modeling of diverse ionic channels or carriers. We adopt the strategy up to bottom to detail this paradigms, and we start with the ions in the aqueous medium. As we can expect, the electrical conductivity due to ions in the electrolyte decay with the frequency. Here it is a normalized scale, and the non-dashed line is over one, because when the concentration is higher, it leads to an increase of the reference value of conductivity. And it is interesting to see that even at a few 10 megahertz, there is a strong decay of the conductivity. But attention must be paid that here the medium is without bacteria. And when we really introduce the bacteria, the behavior can be changed, because the bacteria have frequency dependent shielding, which can in a significant manner alter this shape, this evolution of conductivity dealing according to the frequency. And even to speak with the containing at the electrolyte interface, you have the so-called electrical double layer that we will detail here. Indeed, in the closest proximity of the electrode, here negatively polarized, you have attraction of counter ions, and they form a uniform layer in the closest proximity of the metallic interface. And this layer is called Stern layer. And the limit of this layer is defined with the mode of decaying of electrical potential. As we will see later, if we start from electrical potential at the electrode in relation with ground reference, for example, we have in the Stern layer a linear decay of the electrical potential. While in the other layer, the so-called Wittgenstein diffuse layer, you have exponential decay of the potential. And this layer includes both counter ions and cations. Note here that the ions are not alone. They are just always circled by the molecule of solvent. Here in this color, you have water molecules. And in 1947, Wandels proposed an equivalent electrical circuit to model this interface. And it is composed by the resistor in series with a complex impedance, which is called the Warbo impedance. And they are bypassed by a deficient capacity. And finally, the equivalent electrical circuit is finished by a series resistors. And if we detail what physics it corresponds each element of the equivalent electrical circuit, the polarization resistor, in fact models electron exchange during the reduction of cations at the electrode. Indeed, here the cations close to the electrode get electrons from the electrodes, and it ensues a flow of electrons. And Wandels demonstrated that the exchange energy Q delta V is proportional to this flow of electrons. That means it's possible to model this exchange with resistors. But because of the relatively strong value of CD, this element contributes to the global model only at low frequency, typically under 10 kilohertz. If we go on with the description of the equivalent circuit, the Warbo impedance models the diffusive ionic exchange in harmonic regime. That means it uses two fixed laws. The first one governs the electrodiffusions of ions according to electrical gradient and concentration gradient, and the second fixed law governs start from the matter conservation law, in fact. And it is very interesting to note that the modulus of this impedance is proportional to the inverse of square root of the frequency, and that this argument is constant for all frequencies. And if we plot the Nyquist diagram of this impedance, at very low frequency, you've got a linear line with 45-degree arguments. To go on with the electrical equivalent circuit of Wandels, the diffusion capacity models the accumulation of charge of opposite signs of the electrical double layer. And in the literature, you get some examples of value with these parameters, concentration and coefficient diffusion. You obtain 10 microfarad per centimeter square. But attention may be paid that a lot of other parameters must be taken into account to get an effective and precise numerical values of these elements, because of the rugosity and the roughness of the electrode surface. As said previously, above a few kilohertz, the CD bypass all the elements, and you cannot see the effect of RP on ZW. And finally, the series RS, it is a, away from the interface, and it models in a simple manner the static ionic conduction. So if we continue in our up-to-down approach, now we are close to the bacterium, and because of its non-zero electrical charge, there is also an electrical double layer around the bacterium. And there is also a Stern layer and also a Gwee-Chapman layer. Obviously it depends on the charge of the bacterium itself and on the constituents of the electrolyte. And we are now interested by the dynamics of this electrical layer. Some authors, for example, in the reference seen here, it is described how the surface electrical charge move and diffuse when an external electrical field is applied. There is a surface diffusion, and this effect leads to a very great polarization. So the induced bipolar moment is very, very high, because here you've got a few micrometers. And contrarily on classical dielectric, where you've got a very large quantity of charge, but diffusing on moving on a very short length, here it is a very large length of displacements, and the induced bipolar moment is very, very important. So it leads to a very high value of the global permittivity when you include such objects in a surrounding medium. When you increase the frequency, this effect is no longer viable. That means the effect is dispersive, and the dispersion is described as alpha dispersion. In this diagram, you can see the relative permittivity of the medium including the bacteria. And the alpha dispersion described in the previous slide leads to relative permittivity up to 1 million. It is properly giant. And the effects are very interesting because it is an interesting way to detect the presence of these objects, if we can see that, so highly polarized in the medium. If you increase the frequency, the alpha dispersion no longer exists, and it is replaced by the so-called beta dispersion. And the beta dispersion, in fact, it is also a high value of permittivity, much higher than the relative permittivity of each constituent membrane, cytoplasm, and surrounding medium. It is higher, but less than with alpha dispersion, and it is due to mainly to the interfacial polarization between the membrane and cytoplasm. And it can stand up to 10 megahertz. And if you continue to increase the frequency, you've got now the gamma dispersions, which is due to the polarization of more small components like organelles, proteins, molecules, and so on. And We continue to approach of the bacteria. As said previously, you have phenomena of protonation of the bacterium's outer membrane. And here are details the chemical groups on the what happens on what are the relations with the proton H plus. And finally, it was proved that the net bacterial change depends on pH. But here we exclude the stern layer because we had not to make the confusion between the charge due to the acquisition of proton on the charge within the stern layer, which are ionic species. It is not the same size. It's not the same thing. And but the stern layers collects the counterions coming from the surrounding medium. In summary, it is somewhat complicated to model all that on but we are trying. How can we It is difficult, but one thing is almost sure is that if the global net charge of the bacteria is zero, you don't have a stern layer, you don't have electrical double layer, and it can be measured what is the pH corresponding to a zero net charge. It is called the isoelectric point. And I will explain later what is the zeta potential. It is very difficult, in fact, to physically connect the zeta potential to the charge of the bacterium. But one thing is certain, is sure, is that if the potential is zero, you have no charge. And here, you can see an interesting phenomena because we can constate the saturation of the zeta potential. And in fact, what does it mean? It means that for high value of pH, since the medium become very alkaline and you have deficiency of protons, so the terminal groups of the bacteria cannot protonate no longer. For this reason, the charge and also the zeta potential can no longer change. But it is possible to measure in this way the isoelectric point. This experimental setup. If you define a column in which the electric field is uniform, you have a linear gradient of potential, and it is possible also to define the medium in a way that the pH is also varying linearly. And the molecule transit in the sense of its electrophoretic force due to the electrical field, but when it stopped, you have just to read the corresponding pH value. And you have, in this manner, a very simple way to read the PI. Okay, now it's time to detail more in detail what happens in terms of charge presence in the bacterium itself. We logically start from with the outer membrane, and in a general overview, you can hear that you've got a very important quantity of type of transporter dedicated to the transport of molecules and ions between interior and exterior of the molecule. You've got the passive transport, as the name is sufficiently explicit, corresponds to transit in the direction of electrochemical gradients. That means that you decay the energy. Electrochemical signifies that we take into account not only the electrical gradient but also the concentration gradient. And with passive transport, the transport molecule goes naturally in the sense of decaying the energy. But you've got also active transport. That means that the constituent, the molecule of the, or the ions, is transported against the direction of electrochemical gradients. Now you have to do this first distinction between passive and active transport. And within the categories active transport, you have also three categories because it is somewhat complicated and it is a very stable industry mechanism strategy very complicated. In the uniport, the carried molecule passed through alone the channel on the transporter. In the simport, there is a need for another molecule accompanying the fiber. And in the antiport, you have a contradictory direction of transported molecule. And another distinction must be made between carrier and channel. It is in the channel protein carpet. The proteins, there is just the open closed states. While with the carrier protein, mechanism that involves complete conformational cycle. If we detail what could happen in the channel, the biologist used to characterize it with the current voltage characteristics. And for example, this figure show for various concentration what is this current voltage characteristic. And for example, we can see here with this concentration of potassium that the value zero, the current, correspond to a non-zero voltage. In fact, it is the equilibrium voltage dealing with the prodiffusion equation. It can be measured with well-known patch clamp process. In this electrical circuit, you have current voltage converter with op amplifier. The current goes on the induce voltage to this feedback resistors on the voltage at the end of the output of the operating amplifier is proportional to the current. And since the operator amplifier is in linear regime, you can say that the potential of the minus entry is equal to the to the ground. You've got the ground potential impulse here, and it is easy to obtain the current voltage characteristic with this montage. And I choose this example in the outer membrane porine. It is classified as ion challenge, and here it was demonstrated how it is able to uphill transport of potassium ions. You have here the reference, and in the next slide you have the results, where you can be seen that the channel behaves like a rectifier, and also the channels have a selective property of transport. Let us signal that the MacKinnon was the researcher who obtains the Nobel Prize for his work on three-dimensional visualization of channel selectivity by means of X-ray diffraction in synchrotron. And we go on from outside to inside the bacterium, and we arrive now to the periplasm, and in the peptidoglycan, which here it is a matrix destinated to the in other things to the rigidity of the cell. And it was demonstrated that this matrix composed of replicating units of two amino sugar derivatives and bridge in this manner, this structure in fact is able to attract cations of the aqueous environment. The carboxyl groups can attract metal ions from the environment, and this add substance of these counter ions make the structure like a very highly conductive structure. And the authors by and colleagues demonstrate, in fact, with the inverse impedance spectroscopy method, this layer in the structure of cell envelope is effectively very low conductivity. Now we arrive to the closest layer of that means the cytoplasmic membrane. And we have here what is called the chemiosmotic theory, dealing with the population of protons. In the outside, the living cells get an accumulation of protons, while there is a lower concentration inside. And this permits the production of diverse work or energy storage. But to do that, it is necessary to pump protons from outside to the outside. And this is performed owing to the so-called electron transport chain. What is the electrical transport chain? It is a chain which is the site of successive redox operations, transporting electrons from the star to the terminal acceptor of early electrons. For example, it is oxygen in case of aerobic respiration. This process is, in fact, the cell respiration. And what happens when it happens that protons are pumped in the periplasm regions, and you obtain a high concentration of protons. And finally, when the protons go now downhill, you have, for example, the synthesis of ATP. ATP is the well-known molecule able to store energy. That means adenosine triphosphate. And starting with ADP and adding phosphor group to synthesize the ATP, you stock energy. And the origin of this energy is the downhill transport of protons. And this involves a rotational motor. And what I've shown is necessary because the synthesis of ATP needs a precise sequence, which is obtained by the deformation or rotation of these subunits I show here with the pen. And this is a similar process which is used in the rotation of the bacterium flagellum for its movements. And to finish with the charge with the bacterium, in the cytoplasm, you've got a lot of constituents, cell organelles, and finally we can find more than 2 million of proteins on a great number of ribosomes. The ribosomes are the constituents which translate the RNA in order to synthesize proteins. And it was demonstrated that in the large majority of cases, the ribosome carry a negative surface charge. So finally, the majority of cytoplasm proteins have a net negative charge, but all must be detailed. Okay. So to finish this presentation, we discussed what are the derived physical quantities, because starting from the electrical charge, we can now describe the electrical potentials. And as said previously, the potential decays in a linear manner in the Stern layer and in an exponential manner in the diffuse layer. And the equation to be solved is the Poisson-Boltzmann equation, where the second member deals with the Boltzmann distribution. Owing to the Debye-Occhiali approximation in certain conditions, the equation is more simple, and comes the square of the inverse of the Debye length. And the famous zeta potentials, in fact, corresponds in the context of particles moving in the electrolyte to the shear surface. Indeed, what is happening? When the particle is now moving in the electrolyte, some charge surrounding the bacteria can no more go in this with the same velocity. And the separation between the why other charge can follow the moving particle. And the separation between the abscissa, where the T is not the same, is called the shear surface. And the zeta potential is, in the official definition, the potential at the shear surface. But it cannot be connected simply with the charge of the particle. It is connected, in fact, with the electrophoretic mobility described here with in the Smoluchowski equation. And to measure the zeta potential, in fact, you have to provoke electrophoretic movement and measure electrophoretic mobility. And discussing now transmembrane potential, the phenomenon happening is the electric diffusion current density, and when it is null, you can obtain the transmembrane voltage, which it's proportional to the logarithm of ratio of concentration of the diffusing species named here S. And if the species diffusing is protons, since the hydrogen potential is expressed like the decimal logarithm of its concentration, it is very simple to express in millivolt the transmembrane voltage relating to the gradient of pH. And this experiment done in 1980 proves the linear gradient of the transmembrane voltage according to the external pH, while the internal pH is maintained constant. And a little glance on the what is called the homeostasis of pH. When you apply a step of external pH, you can see that the internal pH, starting from its nominal value, is submitted to a very high change, but relatively quickly it returns to its nominal value. On what is changed finally, it is the transmembrane voltage. So we can say that the transmembrane voltage is constitute in fact a control variable for the regulation, because what wants in the bacteria is to get a constant pH. And finally, we can model all the regulation of the control process in the bacteria in this manner. If the set point is governed by the DNA program of the living cell, and it is corrected owing to the presence of sensors, and also the actuators is a channels who authorize or no the passage of ionic species. And owing to modern communication process, it was proven that the antiporter carrier named here is able to do the same the both functions of measuring on actuating in order to get the pH homeostasis. The terminal group protons, in a way, according to the environment pH here in the cytoplasm, and owing to this accurate charge, there is a Coulombian force on conformational change of the protein, which allow the passage, the transport of ions in order to get the required pH cytoplasm. Donc finally, we can see here how we are expressed the electrochemical potentials. It is now in the field of indicators for biologists, because biologists prefer to use indicators which are most close from the physiologic reality, and the transmembrane electrochemical potential is among them. For example, the protomotive force is expressed in volt, coming from the Gibbs free energy equation, but in reality, it cannot be measurable with an electronic device. And we can obtain interesting indicators to, for example, distinguish the living or death cells. And here, a depolarizing agent has been added in order to allow the passive diffusion of potassium and to obtain the membrane potential relating to this species, potassium, there is a several way to get the information in order to obtain this indicator. But it is not exactly a measurable value. It is represented by an indicator on, for example, in this setup, we can see how it is constructed. In this microfluidic impedance flow cytometry, we obtain a temporal change of the impedance measured in this manner. And finally, you construct an indicator which is a variation of arguments between two frequencies. And the process is events counting. You record the frequency of appearance of a PO value, and the peak value is collected for various configurations. And finally, you synthesize this value with a lot of processing operation. To conclude this presentation, I would say that the living cell electricity interaction can be seen according several line of thought. We focused with the what, where, when paradigm. It is an interesting approach, but in fact, the access to data through direct experimentation is still incomplete at the present, meaning through electrical values. Biologists use indicators. They are often directly related to electrical quantities, but these indicators are more effective in indicating the physiological state of their study objects. And we are physicists in the electrical field, and the mission is to quantify the poorly electrical quantities relating to living worlds. And it is a means of promoting cross-disciplinary cooperation between scientific communities. Thank you for your the colleagues Jean Martins, Pascal Xavier, and Elise Guibaudot for their contribution, helpful advice and inspiring discussion. And thank you for your attention. If you got any questions, thank you.